I was expecting last night having. Well, I knew that it had premiered in London, and I knew that there had been one other screening, which I missed, completely my fault because I didn't get up in time because it was a 9 a.m. screening. So. And there's, I can't think of the last time. Well, it's been. I can't think of any precedent in which so many illustrious names in a Ridley Scott film, McCarthy, and obviously the cast. And I know in my gut when I go to see something by Ridley Scott, and particularly with McCarthy as the author of the screenplay, and they're not going to get these people like Pitt and Javier Bardem and Fassbender without the film being pretty good from the get-go. So I figured, okay, so there has to be something wrong here. There has to be. Why are they hiding it? So I go and I'm flabbergasted how smooth and assured and absolutely holding to this cold but really splendorific moral universe. I was just knocked out by it. But the one thing that I couldn't figure out was some of the plot points. So I'm going up to Book Soup in a matter of minutes to buy the published screenplay so I can figure out some of the particulars, which don't bother me that much, believe me.
Here's the deal. He designed a story, a screenplay for a film which is less about plot and more about this journey of somebody who makes a bad decision.
Right.
You know, so the plot is not, it's meant to be there, and it's meant to, you know, so you know what the world is, but what's very clear is what happens after he makes his bad moral decision.
Right.
And what that journey of descent is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why I think Fox is, for sure unsure about where this film will land, because it's not taken. It's not a normal thriller. I mean, you know, I just got off the phone with somebody this morning who's trying to describe it as postmodern noir or something. It's it's supposed to be a distinct and unusual and original adult movie.
It's like a Samuel Beckett play in a way. It's a really. Go ahead.
Also, I would say this is Steve Schwartz here. It's also a throwback to, I think, a period of more sophisticated filmmaking, perhaps the 70s, a movie like Clockwork Orange, which was another collaboration with a great writer, Anthony Burgess, and a great director, Stanley Kubrick.
Right.
It was also startlingly original and hyper-violent.
Right. Well, it's... And not to mention the chops alone. I mean, I was just... I know when a film is struggling to kind of deliver a kind of a consensus level of entertainment. I know when a film is adhering to... We all know what expected beats are. We all know what we kind of expect the protagonist to do. And I am completely in awe of a film that doesn't do that and does exactly what it wants to do, take it or leave it. I just thought it was brilliant, so...
That's great to hear. Because, you know, we are, you know, I mean, Steve just emailed a review out of Cleveland where they didn't get the movie at all because they were expecting a normal kind of a thriller based upon the trailers.
Yeah.
So it let them down in every area, but it's a fresh movie and it's gonna like you, it's going to thrill people because it's unexpected and it doesn't try to be anything else. And there'll be people that'll be disappointed because they'll want a good old fashioned thriller that's really, you know, follows the normal blueprint.
Yeah. Look, I also have a confession, and I'm not proud of this, but after Prometheus, I began to consider the possibility that, listen, every filmmaker has they reach a certain peak. And then they kind of, you know, when you get older, maybe sometimes you're not as much in command. So I thought, oh God, this is a tough one to consider. But I was starting to think that maybe Ridley was you know, not as much in command as he has been, and he's obviously one of our great filmmakers. And then, bam, he's right. I mean, I was. This is as comforting a feeling and as exciting a feeling as when I saw John Huston's Pritzi's Honor. And I thought at that age, perhaps he was. Remember how good that was, and it was completely, you know. So.
Yeah, and nobody expected it to be that good. I remember that very distinctly. I remember myself going to see it and thinking, "Oh, it's just going to be one of those."
Yeah.
And you know, he was using the kind of the mob landscape as a crutch to give, you know, just the, and it wasn't at all. He
right.
turned it off his head. So.
Right.
Yeah. No. Obviously, you're making us feel really good this morning.
Yeah. No, I'm. I mean, I was arguing. I'll be honest with you. I was arguing with some people last night, and I was saying, look, I understand what you're saying, that you don't understand certain plot elements. And one guy was saying, but I don't think that's really as important. And you guys just told me that it's you can say it's got to all fit together in your head clearly and concisely. So there's no. But I was overwhelmed or being beaten in the I was outnumbered in the argument, but I was saying, man, it really is it's so commanding and so strong on its own terms that I didn't, but I am going to go read that screenplay in about an hour, so I'm glad it's published.
You know, there's nothing wrong with a film, you know, causing people to argue and stirring it up, you know. Yeah. this is a modest budget movie, and it was designed to be exactly what it is. So
did you guys make it for a price? It doesn't look it, but did you?
Yeah, I'll just tell you, this was under 30.
That's pretty impressive. That really is. That's good.
Yeah.
So remind me when it was shot exactly, at what point, a year ago, or when was it?
I guess a year ago, August, September, October, you know, in that range. And then,
right.
Yeah.
And entirely in the, this is obviously IMDb stuff, but the primarily in Texas, the Southwest.
It was shot in and around London and in Spain, with some second unit work down in the in the Southwest. But
okay.
it was mostly a UK production. It was the other genius of Ridley's team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, again, like Kubrick, he could fashion a world out of those resources that he had over there.
Right.
It could work.
One guy who was arguing with me saying, listen, do we really need to be told that dealing with the drug dealing cartels, particularly in Mexico, is a bad idea and that no good will come of it? Thank you very much, Ridley, and thank you, Cormac, for explaining that to us. I said, well, man, you know, you can have an attitude about any film that conveys a certain essence, a certain reality about what crime is like. I mean, that's not fair to like say that it's known. It's how it's done. It's not the song. It's the singer. You know.
No, this is exactly how it's done. I mean, this is a work of incredible art with two masters, incredible masters, Ridley and Cormac,
right,
at the helm of this vision.
Right.
And you know, the story of that world and this crisis is much deeper and more complex than most people. I mean, they know about it, but I think one of Cameron's character's last lines,
mm-hmm,
you know, I think when you read it, you'll see there's even more, kind of sums it up. I mean,
right,
we're aware, but we're really not aware.
Okay.
You know, and Cormac he's got a glass half full view of humanity and where we're headed, and I think he puts it forward pretty aptly with this vision.
No, I'm presuming, guys, that there must have been a discussion between yourselves and Ridley and some Fox execs, and someone, I know for a fact, I don't know for a fact, but I'd be flabbergasted if it didn't happen, had to say to you, listen, people go to movies because they want transportation, they want to be, you know, come out feeling a little differently, they want to be turned around, but they want certain things. They want a protagonist to fulfill a certain arc. They want to invest in the protagonist, so therefore there are certain goals. I'm not going to spill anything, but there are certain things that they want from a protagonist, and boy, you guys are really doing something else here. And I just, you know, and your response was, well, yes, we are, but you know, this is the essence of creation. It's what life is what movies are. It's what we're you know. I'm just trying to, I'm making it up as I go along, but I'm really impressed that you guys stuck to your guns. So.
Well, if you look at Steve's body work and my body work, you'll find that that's very consistent in what we tried to do. Not that we don't aim to make movies that people get their, can make money on, but, you know, our artists are the center of it.
You know, this is Cormac. This is pure, unadulterated Cormac.
Right.
You know, without any filtering.
Yeah.
You know, because these are his words, and he's a guy who doesn't see hope that isn't there. There's nothing, you know, this is the world as it is and not the way one would might wish it to be.
Yeah.
And we're all, you know, we're, I think the movie stays true to, you know, to this view. There are no platitudes here. And there's just no, there's, you know, there's no sugarcoating. And,
you know, it's funny. Some guy was making an analogy between this film and Killing Them Softly. And I said, well, Killing Them Softly, that was a pretty grimy and dark kind of a... I can see why people might have a... feel that the milieu of Killing Them Softly was not something that they felt all that embracing of. But this is just...
By the way, Steve is one of the producers of Killing Them Softly.
Okay. All right. Well, then... There's a certain
Mr. Grimm here.
And Jeffrey, you know, we both did The Road, which also was not a very pleasant ride, but we felt a very important movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we optioned that book, we had no idea that it was going to become the sensation that it did in the Pulitzer Prize winner. And right. You were thinking, oh, you know, this is a post-apocalyptic thriller. We might be able to play around with this a little bit and make it a little bit more genre because all the elements are there. And then when the book started becoming so revered, we said, you know what? We have to make a movie for the audience that read and revered the book.
Right.
We have to be through the book and not fuck around and make it more genre than it is. So,
right.
And it was also too dark of a ride for a lot of people, but it was also an incredible experience for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is my just hats off to you guys, and thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me. I'm going to try and I wish that they were a little more liberal about the about wanting to be enthusiastic about the film, but the embargo is for tomorrow afternoon, I believe. So you know, you got
to. There's already a couple of reviewers going out. We saw today from Cleveland and. Niagara or something, so I don't know what the, but I, you know, there, the, it's a shame there's that embargo, but I guess they're,
yeah.
You know, they don't.
You mean somebody from what, the Cleveland Plain Dealer or something?
Something, I don't know, the Cleveland Scene or something.
Something obscure, but,
okay. Okay.
Not.
All right, well, I've asked them to let me say something today, but if they don't, I guess it's not the end of the world, but I really think that the friends of this film...
ask Natalie. I think you should just ask her, point blank.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you very much for taking the time, and hats off to you guys.
Okay, cool.
Bye-bye.